you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Well, welcome to the high holy days of Texas history. Yep, just in case you forgot, today is March 2nd, Texas Independence Day, the day 60 brave souls signed the Texas Declaration of Independence from Mexico. Or as my Texas history professor at TCU called it, the day the Texians gave the flying fickle finger of fate to Santa Anna. And if you know anything at all about him, then you know that flipping off Santa Anna was not a very smart thing to do back in 1836. Because let's just say Santa Anna was not very kind to his enemies, you know. I mean, you need look no further than what he did to the settlers who attacked the Mexican army in the Battle of Goliad to know how Santa Anna treated anybody who got in his way. Actually, most folks routinely misunderstand the story of Goliad because it really started in October of the previous year, 1835, when a group of Anglo-Americans attacked the Presidio at Goliad, which was manned by a small garrison of troops from the Mexican army. The garrison was badly outnumbered, so they quickly surrendered, and the settlers remained in control of the fort until right after the signing of the Declaration of Independence in March of the next year, 1836. But you know, if you want to be completely accurate, the first, but unofficial, Declaration of Independence was actually signed in Goliad in December of 1835, but that document is not acknowledged as the official one. Of course, the better known part of Goliad's legacy in Texas history is what happened after the rebels were defeated by the much larger Mexican army at the nearby Battle of Coleto. That's when Santa Anna brutally executed 342 men in retribution for the attack on Goliad. This became known as the Goliad Massacre, and it was adopted as a battle cry for the Texian army, you know, the one that eventually defeated Santa Anna at San Jacinto. So, when those 60 delegates signed the Texas Declaration of Independence 183 years ago today, they were putting big, huge targets on their backs because they had to know Santa Anna was going to do his best to hunt them all down and slaughter them. There can be no doubt. Our ancestors took a big risk. They paid a high price for our freedom from Santa Anna. And that's one reason, among many reasons, why we Texans are so fiercely proud of our great state and its heritage. You know, very few states have a history as rich and, quite frankly, as bloody as we do. Certainly, the American revolutionaries also fought and died in large numbers for their independence. But that was 13 separate states, or colonies at the time, but 13 states fighting together for their independence. The state of Texas, or what became the state of Texas, stood alone against Santa Anna, and he was a ruthless dictator in Mexico. And no other state can really claim that kind of accomplishment. So when outsiders snicker at Texas pride, what they're overlooking is the sacrifice of the early Texians. And I think it's important to keep that legacy alive by teaching Texas school children the truth about our founding fathers. And mothers, I might point out, because there were a lot of women who played major roles in our fight for independence, too. And it also needs to be pointed out that it wasn't just Anglo-American settlers who fought against Santa Anna. A significant number of Tejanos were among the defenders of the Alamo. They were members of Sam Houston's army. These were Hispanics who lived in Texas, and they hated Santa Anna just as much as the Anglos did. We've got names like Navarro, Esparza, De Zavala, Seguin, and lots of others who have been very respectfully used as names for prominent buildings and parks and towns and counties all over the state of Texas. And it's due to the service and the sacrifice those Tejanos gave to the cause. So no matter what some politically correct idiot might want you to think, the Texas Revolution was not about white men taking land away from Mexico. It was about a group of people, a very diverse group of people, who fought and died for their freedom from the tyranny of a bloodthirsty dictator who killed anybody who got in his way. Anglo, Tejano, Native American, African American, and no matter what the PC crowd says, I think we should all be proud of that. But Texas history aside, it's just hard to believe it's March already, isn't it? You know, for many of us who are big TV fans, March just means we're a few weeks away from the final season of Game of Thrones. If I correctly recall, season 8 set to drop in April, isn't that right? Yeah, I'm almost positive I'm right about that, but I must admit, I'm just excited about it. And I know, I hear you, it's really bloody, and the sex and the nudity are offensive to some people, especially the incest stuff. My wife really hates that part. But so long as we're talking about history, it does need to be pointed out that the incest angle in the history of the Middle Ages was viewed very differently back then than it is today, especially among the royal families. And that's reflected in the show Game of Thrones. Now, that doesn't justify it or even make it less disgusting, but it's a fact. The royal families of Europe in the Middle Ages considered marrying your cousin as a way to maintain the royal bloodlines of your family. Queen Victoria married her cousin. There's some history behind all of this. Of course, as we now know, that was a tragically bad idea from a genetic standpoint, because having children with another member of your family greatly increases the likelihood of birth defects. In fact, many historians believe that's why Crazy King George was crazy. You remember him. He was the King of England during the American Revolution, and a lot of experts think inbreeding was the reason why he was crazy. And if we bring that all back around to the Game of Thrones, that may well be the explanation for the Mad King, who said, burn them all, remember that? Of course, in the TV show, he was Daenerys Targaryen's father, but you probably recognize her better as the Mother of Dragons. At any rate, I'm really pumped up about the Game of Thrones, and we'll talk about some other good TV shows with my old buddy from the Hudson and Harrigan show, Fred Olson, in the last segment today. But March is much more than just a stepping stone to the return of Game of Thrones or even the High Holy Days of Texas history. It also marks National School Breakfast Week, and that's what we're going to talk about today on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Yeah, believe it or not, old Randy finally got around to talking about food. National School Breakfast Week was first established in 1989 to raise awareness for the availability of the school breakfast program for kids who wouldn't otherwise receive a healthy breakfast at home. It's a wonderful program that was instituted by the federal government in 1966, initially for a 2-year run. Originally, it was designed to serve schools in poor neighborhoods or even just children who have to travel long distances in order to get to school and didn't have time to eat a breakfast before leaving home. However, the program was such an immediate success, Washington made it permanent, and it still exists today. In fact, the school breakfast program feeds tens of millions of underprivileged kids each year, and that includes children right here in Houston. However, God has blessed most of us with the ability to feed our little ones a nutritious breakfast at home before they go to school every morning. But unfortunately, there are a lot of parents who don't have the time or take the time to make sure that that happens. So that's going to be the focus of our discussion today on this installment of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. We've all heard that old adage, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And, you know, nutritionists will tell you it's absolutely true because we need to fuel up before we start each morning. And even from a weight control standpoint, we're definitely going to burn off all those breakfast calories as we work our way through the day. But life gets in the way, doesn't it? You know, we stay up too late at night. We sleep as late as we can the next morning. And breakfast often gets put on the back burner. Oh, that was a terrible pun. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is sometimes we just don't bother to eat breakfast at all. Am I right? And that's especially bad for developing young bodies. So today, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is going to talk about some good ideas for how to prepare more nutritious and better tasting breakfast dishes for our children. So put down that bowl of cereal and grab a piece of fruit, maybe a couple of eggs. Let's figure out some good ways to feed healthier breakfasts to our school kids so they can grow up and make history of their own.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hams.
Make welcome the executive chef at Lucille's on the Branch. This is Chef Chris Williams. How are you, my man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. I understand you're outside, and you might get interrupted by a customer here and there, so we'll just bear with it. Lucille's proudly bills itself as well-refined Southern cuisine defined by history. Explain what you mean by that, Chris.
Well, Lucille's, I named it after my great-grandmother. She was a chef and a pioneer. And she came up with the country's first instant hot roll mix.
Wow.
Well over 80 years ago. And so what we do here, paying homage to her, is that there's two recipes that she was famous for, her hot roll mix and her chili biscuits. So the chili biscuits were just a different iteration of the hot roll yeast mix. It's a perfect little hors d'oeuvre, and her client list included everybody from Martin Luther King to Joe Louis to Lady Bird Johnson, the Roosevelts. They were even featured on American Airlines for their first class passengers. And she also ran Camp Waldemar for well over 40 years. And they recently published a cookbook featuring a lot of her recipes that she was famous for. And she also published her own cookbook. Her first print was in 1937.
Wow, that's a lot of history.
Yeah, and that's what defines us and guides us. And she was a creative, like a true chef, ahead of her time, wasn't afraid to break the mold and try new things.
There's another interesting notation on the cover page of your website that describes your attitude at Lucille's. I just have to read it for our listeners. I think it's great. Recipe for a good life. Take equal parts of kindness, unselfishness, and thoughtfulness. Mix in an atmosphere of love. Add a spice of usefulness. Scatter a few grains of cheerfulness. Season with smiles. Stir with a hearty laugh. And dispense to every member of the family. Now, if I were guessing, I would think that says as much about life in general for you as it does about your restaurant in particular, right or wrong?
No, absolutely right.
And that means that customers should expect to be treated rather royally at Lucille's. So let's have you start out by telling us how you got into the culinary arts. Obviously, your great-grandmother inspired you. Who else, and what was your formal training?
Well, my father inspired me as well. My great-grandmother's from my maternal side, but that cooking gene completely skipped over her daughter and my mother and landed full on me. My father, though, is a fantastic cook, and he actually worked with Lucille at Camp Waldemar, as did all my family's siblings and her grandchildren and all that stuff. Everybody worked with her. And them being from Brenham, Texas, a very small community, so everybody in Brenham also worked with my great-grandmother. So my dad was a great influence. We go to restaurants, we try something that we liked, and 2 weeks later, he just decided he wanted to make it, and he could reproduce it verbatim. And so that was a big part of putting a passion for food on me, an appreciation of great ingredients. And then as far as the formal training is concerned, I went to Le Cordon Bleu in Austin, Texas, but I wasn't a great student. I think we were mutually unimpressed with each other. And from there, I went on to work in some really great kitchens in D.C., B. Smith's, which is now closed, but was a historic African-American restaurant for quite a time in Union Station, and then some great small restaurants in Washington, D.C., and then came back to Houston, worked at a few places, and ultimately moved to Europe chasing a young lady. And
did you catch her?
I did catch her. And then she got away. But I moved to Europe and, you know, ran out of money within like the first 3 months I was there and had to start cooking again. And it turned to the best school because I was able to cook my way all through everywhere from London to Lithuania. And it was 4 years of working my way through kitchens and being able to speak the universal language of the culinary arts. And it was a great experience for me. And it really defined the way that I cook now. I'm not so much about ingredient manipulation as much as just letting the ingredient speak for itself and pairing it with other good ingredients to make, you know, a full course, as opposed to a bunch of soloists trying to outdo each other.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing us back around to the subject matter of the show, food.
Yeah.
And at Lucille's, the menu is deep and wide. Lobster Cobb salad, and then you mentioned chili biscuits. So let's start right there. Tell us how you make those chili biscuits that your great-grandmother made.
So it's a 5-hour process. We start off with lard, because we stay true to the recipe, milk, eggs, and yeast. Cook those together, and then we mix in the yeast and add it to a ton of flour, and we let that rest for at least an hour and a half. The secret to the dough is working with it while it stays soft. It's just enough flour to form the dough. And you have to try them, because these things are like just little edible clouds. They just melt in your mouth. We let the dough rise for an hour and a half minimum. We use the dough in two ways. One is to make the hot roll, which is a Parker House roll. And then the other one, we take our little ring molds and we cut out these tiny little half-dollar sized biscuits that we then bake off in an oven for 350 for around 7 minutes. And then once we cool them, we take a melon baller, we scoop out the inside, and we stuff them with a semi-spicy chili that is finished off in dark chocolate.
Whoa.
Which really packs in a lot of flavor. And that's her original recipe. That's not mine. I can't take any credit for this stuff. So we take that chili, we stuff it into the biscuit, and then we top it off with our mix of cheddar cheeses, Monterey Jack and cheddar. Pop that in the oven for 3 minutes, and you have the perfect little bite-sized hors d'oeuvre.
That's incredible. But today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show commemorates National School Breakfast Week, and Lucille's is well known for its Sunday brunch. There's lots of great breakfast items we can talk about on your brunch menu, but let's start with those three variations on Eggs Benedict. You say, taking a classic and making it sing. So sing away for us, Chris.
Okay, well, I'll start with my favorite, the Country Benedict. So the Country Benedict is a result of spending way too much time in the kitchen. And your listeners are in for a treat, because this is something that I've never told anybody how I do. So what the Country Benedict is a chicken fried poached egg, essentially what it is. So what we do is we poach our egg with the classic solution of 10 parts water, 1 part red wine vinegar. Cook the egg just until it's solidified. And then we give it an ice bath. And then from the ice bath, we freeze the egg. Then we pull the frozen egg out. We give it an egg wash and batter it in our seasoned flour mix that we use for the fried chicken. We deep fry that for a little bit over 1 minute, just enough to get to loosen the yolk and to crisp the outside of the batter. And then we serve that chicken fried egg on top of our braised collard greens, which are done the traditional way with using a whole pig, applewood bacon, and then it's topped off with a truffled hollandaise. It's incredible. It's still one of those dishes that makes me happy every time I make it, and I've been making it for the past 4.5 years.
And I don't want to leave out that you also offer crab cake Benedict and veggie Benedicts, but let's not spend all our time on that. Let's turn to some sweet and savory pillows of love, as you call them, the hotcakes and the toast. We love French toast, so give us that recipe, please.
So the French toast is, it starts off with great croissants that we purchased from Slow Dough, which is a local artisan bakery that we have been using since we've opened. They're fantastic croissants. We take those and we make a creme brulee batter. So you think about your standard creme brulee recipe where you make a custard with eggs, add a little bit of Grand Marnier for sweetness, actual orange zest. We add cardamom and a little bit of cloves to brighten it up. We dip the croissant into that batter, and then we sear it off on the flat top just to crisp it up, and then we finish it in the oven. We only sear one side. And then we pull that toast out, and we top it off with a mixed berry compote, strawberries, blackberries, blueberries, and raspberries, cooked down with a little bit of sugar and white wine.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really good. And then if you really want to treat yourself, you add wings to that. Fried chicken in the morning to me has always been a ridiculous idea, but it seems to be a new thing.
Yeah, it's pretty trendy right now.
It is. And, and so everybody wants the chicken and waffles, so we figured we'd do our own unique spin would be croissant, French toast, and chicken.
Well, congratulations especially need to go out to Lucille's. They were named Houston's Best Southern Restaurant by the Houston Press, and we're sure Chris is way too humble to tell you this himself, but he has been recently named one of the top 15 under-the-radar chefs to know in America by Zagat. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Lucille's is located at 5512 LeBranch Street in the Museum District. Call 713-568-2605 for reservations, and free parking is available at the hospital across the street. Chris, it's been a joy and a delight talking to you, and we hope you'll feel as welcome here on the Outdoor Cooking Show as your customers obviously feel at Lucille's.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike. Hi friends, Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Please make welcome a first-timer on the show. She's a good friend of mine. Her name is Danny Daniel. Hi, Danny.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. First of all, that's an unusual name. So what was your maiden name?
Zuziak.
So that's why you married him.
I went up in the alphabet.
So she just married Rob to get his last name, folks. Now we know the truth. Danny's son, Liam, is on my grandson's Little League baseball team out in First Colony, the Skeeters. Oddly enough, my grandson is also named Liam.
Mm-hmm.
So to cut down on confusion, we refer to the two boys as Liam H for my grandson, Liam Hames, and Liam D for Danny's son, Liam Daniel.
That's right.
And while we're at it, go Skeeters!
Woohoo!
Yeah, Danny, let's start off by having you tell us about your background. Where were you born, reared, and go to school, all that kind of stuff?
I was born in Southern California, grew up mostly in Thousand Oaks, California. I went to college at Azusa Pacific University.
What did you major in?
I started off as a vocal performance major.
Wow.
Wanted to be a singer, then decided, you know, I think I'm going to become a teacher. That way I can get a job. So I switched to childhood education, and that's what I graduated with. So,
where and how did you meet your delightful husband, Rob?
Rob and I met in high school. We're high school sweethearts. We met sophomore year and were good friends for about a year. And then after that, decided, hey, we kind of like each other like that. So must be boyfriend and girlfriend.
And how long have you been married?
Almost 12 years this year.
And I should also point out, Rob stole my job as dugout coach for the Skeeters. But also, quite coincidentally, Danny and Rob used to attend my church, Sugarland Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are attending a different church now. Is that right? Which one?
We are. We're at a church called Mosaic, and it's a lovely community, small community, diverse community, which they really encourage diversity at our church, which we love. So we're just getting to know the people there, and we've been really happy, really great Bible teaching, and just such a warm, loving community.
Well, I'll admit that I will miss teaching your kids in Bible study at Sugarland Baptist, but let it be noted that Danny and I share a very strong sense of our faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Danny and Rob have, 11 children? Is that right, Danny?
11 children. Oh, my. No, only five.
Only five. Oh, my. You know, I figure once you get more than four, it might as well be 11.
Right. It's just a party and a circus.
I like that. A party and a circus. A circus party.
That's right.
Did you always want a big family, Danny, or did you guys just never quite figure out what causes kids?
Oh, my. You know, it's funny. I had one, and people said, do you want more? I said, we're just going to take it one at a time, and really that's what we've done. We just continue to feel the Lord say, keep going, and so we just had that peace to continue, and that's here we are, five children.
Well, did you come from a big family yourself?
In a way, I did. My parents had four. My dad had two previously. So total, he had six. So my mom had four children in 2.5 years. So it was kind of busy and crazy in my childhood home as well.
What about Rob? Did he come from a big family?
You know, he comes from three brothers, so I don't know if you would consider that a big family or not.
Yeah, that's kind of on the border, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, not quite there, but almost.
So, are you guys done at five?
You know, I will tell you that we are actually expecting another one at this very moment.
Wow. So soon to be six.
Yes.
I guess this means you're a stay-at-home mom, is that correct?
That is correct. I'm very happy to say I do my work at home. Very fulfilled by that.
And what does Rob do for a living?
Rob works in business for a wonderful company called Deca Dental. They're based in Dallas, and he runs their Houston market. He runs the operation side of the dental industry here in Houston, so he's very happy.
So is he able to stay at home and help you with the little ones, or are you on your own most of the time?
Most of the time, I am on my own. There are times when he's able to tweak his schedule to cover where he needs to. He's a wonderful father. He gets home as early as he can to get the kids to the sports events, which we're very busy with, as you know.
Yep.
So we are thankful that he has a schedule that allows for him to be flexible most of the time, but he does have a busy,
sure,
you know, full-time job. So most of the time it's just me here holding down the fort.
So you got one on the way, but what are the other five? Ages and names.
Well, we have Seth, who's 9. We have Liam, who is 7, who will be 8 in April. Mr. Tate is our St. Patrick's Day baby. He's soon to be six. And then we have our girl thrown into the boy mix there. Nye Grace is three. Her birthday's in July. And then we have our little Owen, who is one, 18 months. He'll be two in August.
And he never stops smiling. That's what I like about the guy.
Me too.
And you got to stay organized when you got that many kids around the house. So what's your system?
You are right. Being organized is a huge part of my life. I find that I spend most of my time organizing.
Lists about lists is the way my wife likes to call it.
Lists are helpful. I visit Target a lot to buy boxes and different things to find a place. You know, just the sports stuff goes here.
Yeah.
This laundry goes here. Just having a place for everything helps us to stay organized in our home, which creates peace. Which is good.
So what time do you get up in the morning?
You know, honestly, I really don't get up that early. I wake up at 7.
And what time do all the kids and Rob get out the door and off to school and work for the day?
Now, we get the three boys up same time as me. And we are walking with Mom to school by 7:40. And then Daddy leaves shortly after that.
And there's method to our madness with all of this mundane day-to-day activity, because the topic for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show today is National School Breakfast Week. So let's begin the conversation by having you tell us about your memories when you were growing up. Did your mom or dad get up early and have bacon and eggs ready before school every day?
You know, my father was an early riser. He worked in the construction business, so he was used to getting up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. So I mostly have memories of him in the kitchen. And before school, I think there were some days when he did make eggs or pancakes. A lot of mornings we just had cereal, kept it simple. And I have on the weekends, he would bring donuts. So yeah, that's what I remember.
So obviously your parents adhered to the breakfast is the most important meal of the day idea. But now that you're a parent, do you have any strong convictions about that?
I do agree that breakfast is a non-negotiable. Sometimes I have a child who wakes up and says, I'm not hungry today. I say, nope, you have to eat breakfast. So in a way, I think I do adhere to that.
Yeah. So let's trace your steps back to when you were a first-time parent. In other words, first child. Well, what kind of breakfast meals did you prepare for your first child?
Well, cereal's always been a go-to for us. It's a simple meal. But yeah, I think I did have higher expectations back then. I remember making eggs and pancakes more often. I think I had more time and flexibility to do that back then.
And I think all of us will have to admit that our standards with our first children are vastly different when we have our second, or in your case, third, or fourth, or fifth, or now sixth.
Yeah.
So do you approach breakfast differently now that more kids have come along?
Oh, absolutely. It's simplicity is the game winner for our family. We have to keep things simple so that we can get on with our day, get things accomplished.
So what does breakfast look like in the Daniel household these days? What do you do?
Well, being true to simplicity, we have cereal a lot of mornings. Cheerios, Raisin Bran are our favorite around here. We like instant oatmeal. A lot of times the kids want just some buttered toast, maybe with some honey. Eggo waffles are a go-to as well. Simple. Just put some butter and honey on those and away you go.
What about breakfast on the weekend? Does it look any different than school day mornings?
A lot of times it does. Now, we just came off of basketball season, which had us out the door early in the morning. So we had to keep it simple then too. But now that we're in baseball season and we have some morning time, this weekend I made eggs, which was nice, some scrambled eggs for the kids. They enjoyed that. And hopefully coming up here, I can get back to some pancakes and maybe some waffles, you know, just make it a little bit more fun on the weekends.
And be honest now, does Rob ever just run up to Shipley's on Sunday morning and get kolaches and donuts for the family before church?
The answer to your question is yes.
This has been my good friend, Danny Daniel. She's a stay-at-home mom of five, soon to be six, who's now been convicted to start getting up at 5 a.m. so she can cook bacon, eggs, hash browns, and toast for the entire family. Right, Danny?
I don't know about that. I need my sleep.
No, well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Thanks for sharing your time with us, Danny. And go Skeeters!
Go Skeeters! Woohoo!
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272. Or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaw's.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We're going to wrap up the show with a guy that I've wrapped up a lot of shows with, my broadcast buddy from the Hudson and Harrigan Show, Fred Olson. How you doing, partner?
Really good. You know, when you say that, you think of how many thousands of shows do we do in 30 years?
I don't know. I can't count that high.
Then add Dallas into that, and wow.
Yeah. Well, at least we don't have to go take a whooping from the boss when we get off the air today.
No. Well, it's time to go take our whooping. Anyway, yeah, we don't have to now. No, not at all.
I don't miss those meetings or any of the meetings for that matter. And I don't miss getting up at 3 a.m. either.
Well, you know, they couldn't have been nicer to us, but I'm just not a corporate guy.
But I do miss working with you. So this segment is something I really look forward to.
What do you want to talk about today, partner?
Well, first of all, how are things for you and Bev?
Really good. We got the garden prepped yesterday. I was so tired that I fell asleep on the couch. And she just put a blanket on me and said, "Good night, honey." And I was just whooped. But we, you know, it's so funny that, you know, we get mushroom soil.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know what mushroom soil is?
I've heard of it, but I've never worked with it.
Okay. Well, we get it from, there's a mushroom factory place out near Gonzales, and they grow mushrooms for retail sale. So you go there, and they grow so fast, right? Like overnight, you get mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
That soil isn't used again. It's taken out, and it's dumped. Now, mushroom soil is chicken manure and, like, mulch and dirt. And it heats up, right? And it stinks.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Chicken manure, right? Sometime I'll tell you the story of how I tried to haul it myself in my truck, but I had 3 yards of it dumped in the yard the other day, and 3 yards is a lot when you have to shovel it.
Yeah.
So I put that in yesterday, and I was whooped.
Well, now you need to be careful. Don't throw your back out. That's what happened to our studio engineer, John Shelton, this past week.
Huh?
I had to line him up with Dr. Tom Parr, the orthopedic surgeon to the Almost Stars out here in Sugarland.
Yeah.
He's the best, isn't he?
He is. I refer everyone to him. He probably owes me 10%. Let's talk about it. But all is good. We're getting ready for the gardening season. We'll have stuff in tomatoes no later than March 15th.
Well, I want to ask you this. You're working outside.
Yep.
Have you contracted any allergies, you know, like everybody else is this time of year?
It kind of hit Bev yesterday. We're doing the Claritin and the nasal spray our ENT guy gave us. So you kind of, I see people in, you know, in the grocery store just losing it, sneezing and just in bad shape, and because everything's kind of blooming a little early here for February. So, but I've been blessed so far. You can tell I'm a little stuffed up, but not bad.
Well, I remember thinking, well, here comes my annual rodeo cold, and then it usually just turned out to be allergies. But I got nothing so far. My wife is suffering, though. I hope it's just allergies for her.
You know, I remember it was a February, and we're at some meeting or something at the rodeo, and the wind comes in. It's like a 30-40 mile an hour wind.
Oh, yeah.
And the temperature dropped. It's blowing those huge, immovable trash cans over.
Yes, I remember this.
And I went, yep, it's rodeo time.
Well, I called you my broadcast buddy a minute ago, and that reminds me to ask, have you seen the third season of True Detective?
No.
Ooh, Fred, this is a magnificent show. You remember the first season, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson?
Yes, I did watch that, but I haven't seen second or third.
Well, don't bother with number two. It's terrible.
Okay. That's probably why I didn't watch it. I read all the bad reviews.
It was set in L.A., and it just didn't work.
Okay.
But season three has returned to the same quality as season one. And that guy that won the Oscar, Mahershala Ali, he's just breathtakingly good in True Detective. He just won the Oscar. I think he's going to win the Emmy for True Detective.
So, no, I can't. True Detective, is that Netflix or Prime or what?
HBO, I believe.
Oh, well, I got to get HBO now. I can't. No Dish. They pulled off a Dish.
But it'll show up on Netflix or Amazon or one of those here eventually, and you can binge watch it then. It's really good.
Okay, yeah, because I love. We started watching The Good Wife, binging on that.
I've not fallen into that addiction.
No, it wears up pretty good. But yeah, he's pretty good. Suits, we binged until about season four. Then that's when all the wheels come off generally. And in most series, you know, they do a couple of good seasons and things just, you go, what?
Yeah.
Aliens landing in their backyard of a law firm? That's weird.
See, after they lost Kevin Spacey, I felt that way about House of Cards. It just fell. The House of Cards fell apart.
Hey, you know, that's a very telling thing about his whole life, huh?
Yep. Well, my son Derek thinks that True Detective only works when they set the story in a backwoods place, like Louisiana in the first season or Arkansas in the third season.
Yeah.
And in the second season, when they set it in L.A., that just didn't work. And I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who haven't seen it, and they're going to want to do so. Because this is just one of the best shows on TV. I mean, it's right up there with The Americans, Fred.
Did you ever watch Justified?
Yes, and I loved that.
We were sad. We binge-watched that for weeks.
Yep.
Because there were like 8 seasons, and when it was done, we went, no!
Yeah, we were the same way.
Deputy U.S. Marshal Raylan Givens?
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Hey, Boyd, how are you?
Yeah, those were my people right there.
Oh, God, I miss that show.
Yeah, well, today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is commemorating National School Breakfast Week. Not School Lunch Week, School Breakfast Week, I suppose with an emphasis on the importance of feeding children a nutritional meal to start them out. What's the old phrase, breakfast is the most important meal of the day? Do you believe in that?
Kind of.
Yeah. My mother definitely did.
Yeah, it all depends on your level of physical activity. I think sometimes dinner is, because then my body's going to repair overnight. But anyway, that's just, when you put in long, hard hours out here, dinner is big.
But conversely, so is breakfast, right?
Yeah, well, I always eat breakfast. I can't get by without having breakfast, and my day is off to a bad start, and then I'm just kind of...
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. First of all, I want to know, what do you remember about school breakfasts from when you were a kid? Did your mother make you a big breakfast for school?
Oh, that kind of school breakfast. I grew up, my mom used to make these pancakes that were sourdough pancakes, and those of you that can remember, real sourdough was made with kind of a, what they call starter, and she always kept some near the stove, and she would make her sourdough with that. And Hames, she would make these pancakes, like a stack of about 3, and no matter how much butter, no matter how much syrup you put on it, it would absorb it all. It would just suck it right up. I went, So I grew up not liking pancakes.
Oh, my.
I had to eat them. But, I guess pancakes and eggs, things like that.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, our experiences on the Hudson and Harrigan Show actually play into this topic more than most people might think, because the dynamic was much the same for us on the radio as it was in a hectic household full of kids getting out the door for school in the morning, because we got up in the middle of the night to be on the air at 5 a.m. And time efficiency at 4 o'clock in the morning is very important. So what did you usually eat before you headed to the radio station each day to do the H&H show?
I used to buy these, hold on just a second. Hey, honey, what was the name of that? Are those frozen breakfasts we bought? What was the name of that lady's place? Smart Meals. I was doing Smart Meals the last couple of years, and I would get a egg and bacon thing. There were Smart Meals breakfast, like a burrito, that weren't very big, and that's what I would do. I'd thaw one of those out the night before and have it ready to microwave before I came in to work with you.
Okay, so now you don't have to rise and shine before the sun even shines. So has that changed your breakfast eating habits?
Well, I was up at 5:30 this morning, so I do get up still kind of early. I like sausage and eggs. 3 eggs scrambled, Nashville sausage, love that. And that's kind of my breakfast.
What about weekends? Are weekends any different for you?
No. Protein with a little bit of a carbohydrate with that, but keep it pretty simple.
Yeah, I guess every day's pretty much the same when you're living on Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me.
Oh, Mr. Douglas, I'll make you a deal you can't refuse. Mr. Haney.
So, be honest now, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
This morning I had 2 patties of sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And Beverly makes these wraps that she got out of South Beach. They're really good.
Well, son, it sounds like you need to get outside and work some of that off, boy.
I will. I'm heading to the gym here as soon as we're done.
Well, we're out of time for another week and another show. Give my love to your wife, and I'll look forward to wrapping up another show with you next week. Okay, pal?
Hey, let's do that. Let's just keep the string going, shall we?
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something up?